Blog Talk Radio.
I think Loma is all wrong for that guy, man. Yeah, you ready to go?
Ready to go.
All right.
What time is it?
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to a special Saturday edition of the Ringside Reporter Show, where we give our final thoughts before the big fight tonight. My name is Eric Lorda. I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. And we got a great show for you guys, man. Let's get started, man. Crawford versus Spence, the weigh-in yesterday. You know, I guess my first thought is, did it change anything? Did it change my mind or anything like that? For me, no. Everything looked like I thought it was going to look. You know, I tell you what didn't look according to plan, you know, Crawford looked completely shredded for this fight. I mean, he looks amazing. That guy, there's not an ounce of fat. It doesn't look like there's an ounce of fat on that guy, man. He looked incredible. I mean, that guy is in shape for this fight. And by all accounts, by everybody, everything that we've heard from Crawford and his people throughout his career, this isn't just for this fight. This is throughout his career. That guy is a gym rat. They have a hard time keeping him out of the gym. And everybody that's worked with him, sparred with him, other fighters say that it's a different kind of thing. You know, with Terrence Crawford, it is a different thing. He's got, you know, everybody talks about his boxing IQ and everything like that. So his ability to grind is what got him here. Not his boxing IQ. And don't get me wrong, all that stuff helps. All that stuff is top priority. But you got a guy who grinds and knows what it's like. He's got the dog in him. Errol Spence has got that dog in him. So this was, you know, what we were looking for. And, you know, you're kind of waiting for somebody to blink first at one of these things, you know. Size-wise, they looked about the same. Spence, to me, looked a little bigger, a little thicker. But both guys looked ready. And it wasn't that big. It didn't appear to me, when they're facing off, that much of a size difference. Spence looked bigger, no question. I thought he looked a little bit thicker. But, I mean, as far as size and everything, they both, you know, 147, I think, what was the final weight on that, Beeb? 147 for,
I think it was like 146.
And 146 and three quarters.
Yeah, they were almost dead on.
Oh, yeah. They were, I mean, they were, so they're about the same size. And they'll be that, they were the same size for about 5 minutes, and they're going to rehydrate. Who knows where they're going to wind up tonight, and who cares? There's no rehydration level. The guys weighed in. Everything up leading into this fight has looked even so far. You know, Errol Spence, like I said, if you were going to point something and look for some kind of, you know, difference here, Errol Spence didn't look as chiseled as I've seen him in the past. There's been a lot of accounts that this is a rough weight cut for him, and it sounds like he's going to go. It sounds like he's probably going to move up after this. Beeb, let me ask you, let's start here. When you, I guess, after this weigh-in, once it was all said and done, did anything change your opinion for this fight?
I have to be honest, it made me even more confident with Terrence Crawford. And I'll tell you a couple of things, because you know what's funny? After these weigh-ins, right, and we talked about this fight is so close on paper in terms of competitiveness, right? So we look for other things. We start nitpicking. We start becoming kinesiologists. We start becoming psychologists.
Oh,
we
start
looking at all these little things that people are like, well, Beeb, I don't see a PhD at the end of your name. What are you even talking about? How do you know this? How do you know that? Once again, guys, it's an opinion show, right? And we're going to give our opinions. So for me, whenever I look at a fighter who – like rehydrated, because this was the ceremonial weigh-in. They already weighed in early. And, you know, to me all week, Spence just looked, I have to be honest, he looked very gaunt. He looked like almost like a dead man walking. I want to be overly dramatic. I don't want to be over dramatic here because we tend to say this a lot about Spence before you know, the lead up to the fight, going into the fight. But once again, you know, every year that goes by, every fight that goes by, you get pushed closer and closer to that wall. We were saying before that he was close to that wall. Now I think he's probably 10 or 15 steps even further close to that wall, right? These guys are both in their mid-30s, right? To me, there's no question Errol Spence should be at 154 now. Whenever you hear someone saying that they're going to move up next, that means they probably should have moved up 2 or 3 fights prior.
That's right. That's a good point.
Right?
That's a really good point.
So when I'm looking at Spence, he looked very flat. So that means that, to me, he really, really depleted himself, and his muscles didn't look full. When you looked at Crawford, his muscles looked full. They looked round. They had that bubbly look to him. Spence looked flat, right? So that was kind of a caveat for me. That jumped out at me. Another thing too is when you look at their legs, Crawford's I think has bigger legs. Like Spence has very thin legs. Like Crawford's got thick legs, and people talk about the size, the strength, whatever. I'm going to say something extremely controversial. You can make the argument that probably Spence hits a tad bit harder. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I would argue, in my opinion, that Crawford's probably physically stronger than Spence, and I'll tell you why, because I've seen him in there with bigger guys. Like against Jeff Horn, I was like, this is going to be a grueling, rough fight. We even said that beforehand. We thought Crawford would outbox him, but we thought it would get ugly. We thought that it would be kind of a messy fight for him, but it wasn't. He was tossing the bigger Jeff Horn around, and he's got a wrestling background. I've seen footage of this guy doing squatting 315 for reps, deadlifting like 500-600 pounds. This is a 155-pound guy, right?
Yeah.
This is a guy that steady stays in the gym, that steady stays in shape, that never drank, never smoked. When he's at a fight, you never see an alcoholic beverage in his hand. You never see him look puffy and out of shape like we've seen Spence on several occasions. Now, to Spence's credit, when it's go time, he does get in shape. He does train hard. There's no question about that. But when it's not go time, that's when the problem has occurred. And eventually we keep saying it's going to catch up with him. It's going to catch up with him. It's going to catch up with him. And there's going to be a time where it is just going to catch up with him. This isn't Ugas. This isn't a guy that a 35-year-old Ugas who only has 12 knockouts who beat Manny Pacquiao. I'll give him credit for that. But, you know, that wasn't the Manny Pacquiao, right? That was a 40-year-old version of Manny Pacquiao, right? So when we look at that fight, and Spence clearly won that fight going away, there was some shaky moments for him. But one glaring moment, and again, I don't want to make too big a deal about this because a lot of people tell me I'm blowing this out of proportion. But again, Ugas, older guy, not as quick as Crawford, doesn't hit as hard as Crawford, was landing some good right hands in that fight, particularly in the fifth round. He couldn't have landed a better right hand, like I said, in that mid-range area where I think Errol Spence is the most vulnerable, in the middle, not out, not all the way in. He landed a beautiful right hand. And I'm not going to say that Spence was done, but he was buzzed. He was frozen for a little bit. And then people say, well, his mouthpiece fell out and he looked, you know, and he had to look down. And he did it twice. He did it against Danny Garcia. He did it here. I just think if he that happens and he does that against Crawford, takes his eyes off the ball for that split second. Crawford's one of the best finishers in the sport that I've ever seen. He's not going to get away with that, right? So, yeah, I just thought Crawford looked much better at the weigh-in. And here's another thing. Here's where the psychology comes in, right? You're reading too much into things. It seems like the narrative that Spence has been pushing all along, and he said it right up until the last minute of that weigh-in when they went face-to-face. You got to thank me for giving you this fight. Almost as if I didn't have to do this. Like, almost as if I was kind of pushed into doing this. To me,
I see where you're going with this.
To me, again, this is no knock on Spence. We know he's a real one. We're not going to sit there and question his character. But once again, we look at the little things. And to me, I have to say It always appeared to me that Crawford wanted this fight more.
Yeah.
And
I think that's fair.
I think that's going to mean something come fight time. I heard Spence say, you know, you got to thank me for giving me this fight. And then Crawford came back beautifully. He said, you know, you don't have to thank me. We should thank each other. I said, we're going to make history. And the next thing that came out of Errol Spence's mouth was, we're going to make a lot of money too. So one guy is thinking about legacy. One guy doesn't care about A side, B side. One guy is not like, obviously it's a business. He's got a family too. But to me, it's a little bit, not even, it's more than a business to one guy. To the other guy, it's strictly business.
Just a business.
Ran out of options. The fight was just too big to pass up at this point. And, you know, there was pressure on me to take this fight. More people were kind of blaming me, whatever. So now it's go time. Let's see who really wants it more. I think it's Crawford. And that's, once again, going down to the little things we say, the old cliche, who wants it more?
All little things, yeah.
I think Crawford may want a little bit more.
Yeah, Spence told Brian, JC said, Spence told Brian Custer that all he cares about is the money. Yeah, I remember he did say that. He said something along those lines, something to the effect of, he said, I didn't get in here for money, I got in here for money. You know, and that's why they all fight. Let's be honest here. Yeah, I thought that, like I said, man, Spence looked good. And you could say that, you know, Spence had a rough cut or whatever. Spence hired a nutritionist. He's one of the best nutritionists. You know, he works with Gervonta Davis. He works with a lot of fighters and that sort of thing. And if he was working with a nutritionist, my guess is he made weight fairly comfortably, you know, in the sense that you don't have to, you know, I'm not in the sauna drying out. You know what I mean? You may have had a diet and cut your intake down a little bit, but it wasn't, you know, if you have a good nutritionist, the days of the sauna and stuff like that, you're not going to have to do any of that, you know. So I think that he, you know, at the end of the day, he's ready to go. And, yeah, it didn't really change. It didn't really change much for me, though, I'll be honest with you. I did like the moment at the end of the fight or at the end of the weigh-in where, you know, he says, I think we should thank each other, and they both shook hands or whatever. And it was just great sportsmanship. I mean, you can't hate either guy here. I mean, both these guys – came together to make this fight happen. Is it happening too late? Not too late, but a little bit past, you know, a little bit past where I would have liked to seen it, you know what I mean? But, hey, either way, they're both fresh, they're both good, they're both undefeated. It's time, you know, and that's where it comes down. That's what it comes down to, you know. Did you catch this? This is what I thought was interesting because we're talking about weight and you're talking about Spence's weight cut and everything. I'll tell you what was interesting, man. They stated on the weigh-in that the rematch clause says that the winner would get to pick the weight of the rematch. I think that's very interesting, especially when we're talking about Errol Spence moving up in weight. We're not really talking about Bud Crawford moving up in weight so much, but it sounds like Errol's last fight at 147 is going to be this one, regardless, win or lose.
Yeah, well, let's look at history. The last time Bud became undisputed in a weight class, what did he do? He immediately moved up, right?
Yeah.
Spence basically said this is his last fight at 147. I think secretly both guys made an agreement that if we rematch, it's going to be at 154.
Could be.
And I think that's what they've been hinting at. I can't say that with 100% certainty, but in my opinion, I believe that if the rematch does happen, I think it's going to be at 154. I do not see Errol Spence fighting at 147 ever again. This will be his last fight, in my opinion. That's my call here.
Yeah, he's
that's
a
my
big
prediction.
Guy, man. He's a big guy.
About 5'10", right?
Yeah.
Him and Boots are very similar in size and build. Boots is a big guy. But here's the difference. I mean, when you're going into your 30s, you know, you're like, I think he's like 33-ish right now. I think he's 33. I think Crawford's 30, almost 35. It's not the same as Devin Haney being 23, grinding it out. Your body just changes when you're in your 30s, and it gets harder and harder and harder to, you know, turn back the clock, push that envelope.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Because then the body starts pushing back. And in my, that body's got to be pushing back at this point. We can sit there and say, yeah, he always looks like this. But that was a year and a half ago. Now, his last fight was almost a year and a half ago, right? Crawford's, I think, was like 6 or 7 months ago, 8 months ago.
Yeah, he's been more active. Yeah, he's been a little bit
more active. I think Crawford's just been more consistent to his craft, and Spence has not. And that's just the fact, in my opinion.
Well,
Spence has not been as consistent in terms of staying in shape, always doing the right thing. He's emphasized so much about, oh, I got a nutritionist. You, Ben, should have had a nutritionist. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He, again, no disrespect. Like, because when an alcoholic, you know, says, hey, I've been sober for 6 months, I'm not going to be that guy and say, well, you should have been sober 10 years ago.
Right.
No, I mean, it's still a step in the right direction. So you'll get credit for that. But at the end of the day, realistically speaking, those kidneys don't care about you're sober for 6 months.
Right.
They're saying, what the fuck happened 10 years ago when you were beating the shit out of me? I'm not going to be what I – just because you decide we're going to stop now, we can't reverse what's already been done. And that's where we're at right now with Spence at some point, you know, to some degree. And, again, this is not Ugas, right? And a lot of people talk about the resume. And we can tear down and pigeonhole everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you look at both guys at 147, they're the two biggest names on both guys' resume, in my opinion, I think most people would agree, is Kell Brook and Sean Porter.
Yeah.
Right? And then you can sit there and argue, oh, well, Crawford got Brook at a bad time. But so did Spence. Spence got Brook right after Golovkin broke his orbital bone. And he's coming down from 160 to 147.
That was a very competitive fight, by the way.
That was a competitive fight.
That was competitive.
To Spence's credit, he had to travel overseas. It was his first title fight. But
in
that
the
was
UK. You know how difficult it is to go there in the UK and take a belt off of anybody?
That was nip and tuck. It was a tough fight, and once again, where and how did Brook give Spence trouble in the mid range? And then once Spence started wearing him down, like Brook got a little tired. You know, you don't want to make excuses, but again, he was coming from 160 down to 147. He technically should have never went back down to 147. He was advised not to do it. Should have been at 154. But he did it, whatever, took the fight. But you could see him fading as the rounds were on. Was that partly due to Spence? Oh, of course you can make that argument.
Yeah.
But those moments where Brook was just establishing himself in the mid-range, that's when he was having success. Spence did not start turning the fight till he got on the inside. Now, the thing is when you got a guy like Crawford, who I've said I think has the much quicker feet. I don't think it's even an argument. I think he's got substantially quicker feet than Spence, in my opinion.
Better feet. I think he does have better footwork.
Yeah, he's more elusive, and he just moves a lot more, like a lot smoother. He can move laterally better. He's just more mobile, right? And
yeah.
He's just more mobile. And when Spence gets on the inside, he's beautiful at positioning his body, stepping up to the side, little short, subtle moves, but he's got to be close to do those things. On the way in, he's not that sophisticated with his footwork. What does help him, he's got such a sharp, quick, heavy, authoritative jab that pushes his opponent back, knocks them off rhythm, and he changes levels with it. So that jab is the weapon to get him in there. But when you got a guy who can step around that jab, step off to the side, who's constantly going to be moving, right? And you know, people talk about that southpaw stance of Crawford, and they say that's when he's most vulnerable from a defensive standpoint. But if you go back and look, right, I think when Crawford decides, if you look at that Victor Postol fight where Crawford just says, I'm just going to outbox this guy the whole fight, he never went southpaw. To me, defensively, Crawford is so much better in the orthodox stance. But when he switches to southpaw, signifies to me that he's going in for the kill. That's when he decides I'm trying to take you out. So in my opinion, he's better offensively in the southpaw stance, but he's better defensively, right, in the orthodox stance.
Yeah.
So I could see him staying orthodox for maybe the first 4 or 5 rounds, right, piling up the points, maybe softening them up a little bit, wearing them down, and then I think he's going to switch to southpaw later in the fight when he wants to become, you know, when he wants to start landing some more substantially harder stuff. I'm going to try to take this fight over from an offensive standpoint. So, case in point, when you go back and look at that Brook fight, when he knocked Brook out in what? A southpaw stance with a right hook. And that was by design, in my opinion. You know, I'm giving you this look, letting you think I'm just lying back. I'm just going to pick and prod at you, box, 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 box. And then you get you start getting used to that rhythm. Well, he's not really coming at me throwing anything hard. So then automatically I think a fighter will start becoming a little bit complacent, not because he's not focused in the fight, but you're reacting to what's being thrown at you. So if you're being, you know, if not a lot of hard stuff's coming at you, just punches that are coming at you at a specific speed with a specific intensity, you adapt to that intensity. But the problem is Crawford can change that intensity so quickly on the turn of a dime. And Inoue showed us that, you know, against Fulton too. That's what Inoue does. Right, and Crawford is another one of those guys where he'll throw those kind of soft decoy type punches, getting you used to that speed. You know, these aren't really hard shots coming at me, whatever. And then automatically, boom, I'll switch to southpaw, and then I'm going to start coming with the heat. So that's where I think the problem for Spence is going to be. He's going to have the quickest hands in the world, but if the guy is not going to be there for you, if he's got the quicker feet, then he's going to be in position to be, you know, to get his stuff off and get away from your stuff. So footwork is and foot speed is just so important, because without those feet, right? Without those feet,
yeah,
you can't get in position and get your stuff off. So that's where, you know, you know the guy like Canelo who adds in the feints, who again another guy with a hard heavy jab. But again, when you got a guy who's so crafty like Crawford, it's going to be hard for you to control this fight with a jab when he's just so quick and elusive, and he's just so hard to pin down. This isn't a guy like – this is like nobody you've ever seen, in my opinion. So it's going to be interesting tonight.
I'll tell you what, and you gave a good case for Crawford, and I'm going to give you a good case for Spence here. Let me tell you the thing that Spence does. You know who he reminds me of? He reminds me a lot of Julio Cesar Chavez Sr., not Junior. Don't get confused. He definitely reminds me of Julio Sr. in the sense that he goes after that body with like a vengeance. You know, I mean, he's constantly on that body attack, right? And the pressure that he's going to put on you is unlike any pressure you've been in there with. Nobody is going to put the type of pressure on Crawford that Spence is going to put on him tonight. He's going to walk forward, and that's his game. He's coming straight at you. There is no plan B. You know, he's going to come straight at you. He's going to wear you down. And, you know, listen, Bud is strong and everything like that, and he can wrestle or whatever. But in those clinches, you're going to have a bigger guy laying on top of you, you know, a bigger guy. And you know yourself that when you're under pressure, when you're fighting a pressure guy, that ain't no easy task, man. And I don't care how much you can move and everything like that, and it doesn't matter what you hit this guy with, he's still going to come forward. You're not changing that. You know, and you have the footwork, and you're going to be able to change it a little. You know, you'll be able to move around him. You'll try to circle him. You'll try to do everything. But at the end of the day, he's coming straight for you. And there's nothing – so far in all of his fights, there's nothing anybody has done about this. And this fight will be no different. Because it's a different kind of pressure. You don't see this type of stuff every day. He's going to walk forward. I don't care what kind of footwork he has, what kind of whatever. He's going to walk forward. He's going to walk him down the entire fight. And he's going to come in, and he's going to look for body shots the entire fight. That's what he does. And, you know, we talk about, you know, he's a one-trick pony. He's not. You know, you're talking about a guy who was in the Olympics. Talking about a guy who was in the Olympics. Talking about a guy who, this is, and I hope he fights his fight, not Crawford's fight. Because we saw him fight Mikey Garcia, right? We saw him fight Mikey Garcia, and we saw him beat Mikey Garcia at his own game. We saw him go in there. Who was the other guy he did this with? Sean Porter, and try to beat Sean Porter in his own game. Errol Spence needs to be Errol Spence in this fight. Not you know, Crawford, not anybody else. This is who he needs to be. He's got to go in there and impose his will, and everything else is going to come, man. And stamina, everything like that, I'm not really worried about anybody's stamina here. They both can go 12 rounds. Can you go 12 rounds under that kind of pressure? That's a big ask for Crawford. You know, we know that if we had to guess, if I had to guess, I think Spence is bigger. I think he's stronger. And I think at the end of the day, he just walks this guy down. I don't think there's a knockout. A lot of people are predicting a knockout. I don't think that's the case. But I think that ultimately it's going to be a decision. I think that, you know, I think we're looking at 8-4, 9-3 for Spence
wow.
here. And I'll tell you the other reason I'm thinking this way is because Crawford is a notorious slow starter. He's got to get off those blocks quick today because, you know, they can call it downloading data or whatever they want to call it. You know, oh, he's downloading the data now. He's looking. Listen, man, he ain't going to have time for all that. That guy's coming at you. You're not going to have a chance to breathe in there. That affects your stamina. That's going to affect everything. So he's got to get started quick. When he gets started quick, he's going to fall right into that trap. Because you're not going to get him. You're not going to knock Errol Spence out in the fourth round. You know what I mean? You're not going to knock out Crawford in the fourth round. No. But I believe Spence's game plan is going to be to take him into deep waters with those body shots.
And to your credit, one thing you can argue about Spence is this guy is so steady and consistent. He never, like, if you're in there, you're saying to yourself, from rounds one to round 12, he never slows up the pace. He's consistent with the pace. He continues to move forward. He never slows down. So because he's so steady, consistent, and determined in there, and he doesn't slow down, mentally that does put a lot of pressure on a fighter because you're sitting there saying, like, when is this guy going to give me a breather in here?
Yeah.
And he never does. But on the flip side of that, you said Spence can't fight Crawford's fight. My response to that is, well, what is Crawford's fight? It could be a number of different things.
I think Spence's fight, or I think Crawford's fight, is that counter game. You know?
Okay.
I don't think that, like, you know, when you watch Crawford, he's, you know, he's a cerebral type of guy, man. He wants to assess you where you're at, and then he's gonna pick his shots. He's a counter guy.
He's a counter puncher by nature. I would agree with that.
And I think in a fight like this, that could be, you know, it could be detrimental. He's not, you know, you think back to the Taylor Chavez fight, that first fight they had. You know, Meldrick Taylor was much faster. And that's how speed, you know, with his speed, that's how he neutralized that, you know, that bull rush. That's how he neutralized that pressure. He couldn't neutralize it the whole fight, but that's what he did is his speed counteracted a lot of that. Crawford doesn't have that type of speed. I've never seen anybody except for maybe Sugar Ray Leonard have that type of Meldrick Taylor type of speed in that fight.
Okay.
You know, with combinations and everything like that. I don't think that he's got that. And I could be wrong. You know, and both of them are very good. You know, again, if we set, you know, who's got the better jab? Who's got the better? They all do the basics very well. Would you agree with that?
No one sucks at anything in this fight. You can make an argument that even if you believe Crawford is more versatile, what Spence does do well, like, he does it exceptional. Like, we have, you can make the argument like Shaq, oh, well, all Shaq does is bully you down low in the post, overpower you, and just dunks. But, okay, that's all great. That's all well and good saying that, but fucking stop what he's doing. That's the same argument you can make for Spence. No one has ever forced Spence to not keep coming forward and applying that steady, consistent pressure. So to your point, you can't You can't go against what you're saying in that regard. That's true. And how many times have we said beforehand, well, this guy's faster than that guy? And then on fight night, when they're in the ring, it's like,
it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different.
He's really not. Like, we thought Pacquiao was leaps and bounds quicker than Ugas, but it was irrelevant come fight night because he couldn't get his shit off.
He couldn't pull the trigger that night, you know.
Couldn't get his shit off because every time he tried to come forward, Ugas is a great counterpuncher.
Yeah.
And to your point too, Ugas being the counterpuncher and Mikey Garcia with the counterpuncher, Spence did not like lay back against Ugas and give him time to breathe and react and let him get comfortable in that counterpunching role.
Right.
So Spence has to work double and triple time with the jab, and he's just got to keep coming forward. And if he wants to take a break, he's got to take those breaks up close. And he's got to lean on Crawford, and he's got to throw those body shots. When he wants to take a break, then he can grab them, lean them, walk them back, and take those breaks that way, and let the ref break them. But he can't take a break when there's space. He can't get complacent when there's space. He can't get complacent in that mid range like he did a couple times against Ugas, like he did a couple times against Danny Garcia, like he did against Sean Porter. He has got to, like you said, not have any lapses in concentration in this fight and just stay the course.
Yeah.
Right? Stay the course. And Sugar Ray Leonard once said, too, there's always a time in a fight where you have to stand your ground and fight. And there's going to be a moment in time and place in this fight where Crawford is going to have to do that.
Yeah.
And that's where we say to ourselves, what is going to happen when that situation arises? That's where it gets interesting. This fight is so interesting, man. It's so intriguing. I don't care what anyone says. Like, this is like Christmas morning to a fight fan like
this.
This
whole week. You know, we had Inoue earlier on in the week. We got this fight coming in, man. I mean, these are two potential, like, cards of the year, man. Like, I mean, I wanted to see that Inoue fight so bad, you know, and now this one you wanted to see so bad. You waited a long time for it. Like, man, it's like, you can't even put it into words, man. This is a huge day.
Bro.
Huge week.
A huge day.
This is the biggest week in boxing history.
huge year.
All of it, right? And we're only halfway through, baby. Halfway. Babe, we're halfway through. That's it.
Halfway.
We've gotten all of this, and we're halfway through.
And what a perfect time for you to cancel your DAZN membership because you're getting all these fights on ESPN and Showtime.
I hate playing
the network game, but you DAZNiacs were attacking me all year. The DAZNiacs were killing me all year. Where are you now?
I tell you what, you couldn't pay me to watch DAZN right now. They've got nothing on there. What do they got? What do they got? Some chicks fighting or something like that? That's who's headlining over there? Nobody cares.
I'm sorry. I have to respond to the DAZNiacs.
Eric's boy Dubois fighting Usyk, too.
That's a great fight.
Well, that's a good one. I mean, it's a fight. I mean, Usyk should dismantle.
I'll be watching that.
Do you think, what are the odds that Dubois quits on this night? I mean, what is it?
Will you get off the quit thing?
I'm just saying.
The guy's eyeball was literally hanging out.
Pretty sure it wasn't. No, I saw the fight. I'm pretty sure it wasn't. Okay. I mean, you know.
He had retinal bleeding in his eye. Retinal bleeding. I've talked to several ophthalmologists, and they told me if he continued, there was a high probability that he could have lost vision in that eye.
Now, right. What ophthalmologist did you talk to?
I mean, Dr. Irwin.
Dr.
Carter, right down the street next to the
James
human
Cotter.
Resources department. She's
James
my
Cotter.
Personal optometrist. I mean, she's right next to the human resources department. So sometimes when I go to meetings for human resources, I can go in there for a quick saying, you know, I'm seeing a little bit of floaters here. What's going on?
Right.
Oh, you're all set. That's just for age. You don't have the stats right now. She comforts the beam.
She comforts the beam. Let's bring Ringside Robert on and let's get his opinion on the fight. I'm taking Spence by decision. You're taking Crawford.
And before you get started, Robbie, don't stop like mirroring word for word what I'm saying, because you love to copy my breakdowns. I'm gonna start copywriting my breakdowns so you can't copy like spew them off word for word. I'm getting right. tired of you.
Hey,
I'm getting tired of you doing that. But go ahead, Robbie.
Hey, Joe. I got to copy the best, man, and you're the best.
There you go.
Look at that.
Let's see.
You just copy with kindness. I have
That's
no response
right.
to that.
That's right.
Guess what I'm going to do?
Oh,
I'm going to take that L after that one.
Yeah, you take the L after that
Robbie,
one.
Robbie, Robbie 1, Beep, negative 0. Go ahead, Robbie.
Negative 0. There's the count. There's the counter.
First of all, when I talked about these two fights this week, I said this is Christmas week, and this is definitely Christmas morning, man. I don't know. Well, now, we're going to get some great fights coming up, including the announcement yesterday about Devin Haney fighting Regis Prograis.
Listen, who cares about that? We're talking about Spence Crawford,
I know,
son.
But,
the only reason I let you on today.
Okay, well, Eric, don't
talk
be
about
like
it.
That. Don't be like that.
Talk about it, son.
First of all, I've said – I got a question for you, Eric. When when this fight was first proposed, like 2 or 3 years ago, I remember on this show you came out and said there's no way Crawford would lose to Spence. And now all of a sudden you're picking Earl Spence.
Oh, what is
Can
this,
you tell me why?
Robbie? What is this?
I mean,
who do you think you are, Caitlin O'Connor from CNN trying to ask ambush questions or something?
What's the matter with you?
What do you think you are, Robbie, with the ambush question?
I can speak to that. So, look,
okay.
I mean, you're talking about
like
what?
You've never changed your mind.
We're talking about what, 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah, but
2 or 3 years
saying,
ago. So you don't think anything's changed in the last two
Robbie.
Or 3 years?
Bobby,
except for three years ago,
you said you would never buy the zone.
Yeah, you said you'd never buy the zone 2 or 3 years ago.
You said you would never buy
the zone.
Hey,
and then you switched up, Robbie. Can we flip it on you?
I bought the zone as soon as I had the equipment to do so.
No, it's not the way we remember it. You remember this a different way, too. I'm just saying.
We had the technology department sending you everything you needed, and guess what happened? They came back to us, returned to sender. You were just so hard-headed, you would not comply. And that's why human resources pulled me
anyway,
in the office and said, you guys got to make a move here. You guys
anyway,
got to make a move here.
Here's the deal, though. Like two, three years ago, you got to think, man, it's a completely different time. They're completely different fighters even than they were two or three years ago. You know what I mean? And time moves on. And again, man, you got one guy who's older, one guy who's younger. Not by much, though. Not a whole lot of difference. But again, you still have
Crawford,
one bigger guy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. We've seen him take a year off. We've seen him take months off.
You know,
he had that car accident, and he comes back, and he looks like he doesn't miss a beat.
Okay.
And that's just the way it is, man. Yeah.
But, no, I'm definitely taking Crawford tonight. I've always thought he would win this fight, and I think he will win this fight. I do not agree with people that say that this is going to end by a knockout. If it does, it does. I think it's going to go the full 12 rounds. And since there's going to be a lot of wrestling inside, and I agree with that on both sides, who's the referee tonight? I hope to God it's not Kenny Bayless.
I don't know who the referee is. Who is the referee, Beebe?
I have to look it up. I haven't even looked at the.
Referee.
I don't even know who the judges or the referee is. I'm gonna see if I can look that up right now. That's a good point, Robbie. Excellent point.
Because if it's Kenny Bayless, like it was in the Plant Benavidez fight, nothing will be allowed to happen. And the judges, it's supposed to be a good panel. It's supposed to be Tim Cheatham, David Sutherland, and Steve Weisfeld. Those are the judges tonight. So that I can
tell
you.
Oh, you got the judges. Okay, so you got good judges then. Those are good judges.
So who's the whatchamacallit? Who's the ref?
I don't know.
Let's see who the referee is. See if we can find it. Can't find the referee right now.
Kenny Bayless is doing the Nate Diaz fight next week, probably.
because, well, unless they send him to Texas, I don't know. No, that's going to be a key point. Who's going to be the referee?
Oh, we got a good ref tonight.
Who?
Harvey Dock is the ref tonight. He's
going
to let him
fight. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a great ref.
Oh,
he's
good,
a great ref.
Okay, good.
He lets him fight. That's an he's an awesome referee.
That's right. Yeah, he'll let him do work, and there's going to be a lot of inside fighting on both sides. But I like Crawford to win this, and I think it's going to be 7-5, Eric. I don't think it's going to be 8-4, 9-3. I think it's going to be very close.
I mean,
you
got one extra round. You got one extra round the guy's going to get.
Tomato, Robbie. Like, why do you have to nitpick, Robbie? You try to sound smarter than you are by making little useless points that mean nothing. I'm tired of it, Robbie, all right?
What are you going to do?
You're not Teddy Atlas when you come in here. Come on here, Robbie.
Hey,
so I'm trying to be like Teddy Atlas. He's another guy that got fired.
What are you going to do if it turns out to be a draw?
I'm not supposed to say
that. What's wrong with you?
I'm breaking the NDA right now.
What's matter with you?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Robbie.
I'm getting a little emotional
right now, Robbie. It's a big fight.
What are you going to do if it turns out to be a draw, guys? I mean,
what are my options?
Not much.
I'm not going to do anything, you know? I mean,
my friend put 50 on the draw.
I don't hate that.
No, I don't either
that.
Because
plus
remember.
$2,500, Eric.
Hey, remember, there's an automatic rematch clause for the loser. But if they don't lose, how's the rematch clause going to work?
Okay, well, the rematch clause, we said it earlier, the winner gets to pick the weight in the rematch clause, which I think is kind of interesting. So, yeah.
But if it turns out to be a draw, who picks what?
Gives a shit.
Nobody. Contractually, the rematch clause gets voided at that point if it's a draw. But here's the thing, Robbie.
Okay.
If it's a draw, the next fight would be gigantic, and it'd be a no-brainer. I don't think these guys would pass it up.
I'm not even thinking about the next fight, man. Let's get through this fight.
Let's enjoy this fight before we start. And we are going to break a million tonight. I don't care what anybody says.
$350,000 to $400,000. That's what you're going to get tonight.
No,
You want me to tell you why? You know why, don't you? UFC 291 tonight. Justin Gaethje and Dustin Poirier. That's a big fight. That is a big fight, son. Not to me either, but it's a big fight. Trust me.
Robbie's not buying it. So if Robbie doesn't buy it, it's not a big fight.
Nope. I'm buying it.
What was the last UFC fight you bought?
Huh?
Robbie, have you ever bought a UFC fight?
I have never bought a UFC fight, and I'm never going to.
No, that's cold.
Fucking hater. What a hater he is.
Just hating, son.
What a hater.
Hate is real, son.
Just like next week, I'm not buying Jake Paul, Nate Diaz either.
Yeah, I'm not buying that either. Yeah, you're buying it. You guys are buying it.
Nope.
Come on, he's from Title Town. All
right, guys. My
pick's
Crawford.
All right, Robert.
By decision. See you later.
All right, sounds good. Crawford by decision. You got Crawford by decision.
No, I got Crawford by knockout. Yeah. I'm picking the knockout.
Yeah.
10th round knockout on the beat.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I tell you what, it's tough because I think that I don't think there's any way. I'll be honest with you. There's no way it outsells the UFC pay-per-view.
Yeah, you know more about the UFC than me because you fall. I'm more of a casual with the UFC.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I my guys in the UFC, I love John Jones.
Yeah.
I always liked Amanda Nunes. Who else did I like? I like Adesanya.
Adesanya,
I love that guy. That guy's really good. Who's the other guy? The other guy that's lighter than Adesanya. I'm trying to think of it. The other African guy that fights.
I thought you were going to say Francis, but no, that's not it.
Not Francis Ngannou, the other guy who's a weight division below Adesanya. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to remember who his name is, but I'll probably find Usman. Yeah, Usman. I love Usman.
Yeah, I like Usman.
Yeah, I like Adesanya and Usman, and I like John Jones, And I loved Amanda Nunez. I liked Holly Holm, too. Holly Holm's a grinder, but she's
yeah.
kind of a little old. She needs to step away. She needs to step away.
Yeah, Derek Lewis is coming back tonight. He's in great shape, too. Alex Pereira, John Blachowicz, that's going to be a good fight. This is a good card, man. Bobby Green and Tony Ferguson was the one I'd like to see, man. Michael Chiesa, Kevin Holland. This card is stacked, son.
Are you gonna buy both? What are you gonna do? You can't buy both cards, right?
No, I'm gonna watch a Crawford fight, man. I've been waiting too long for that, man. And I don't, you know, unless I mean it's a good card, but I'll get the results around. You know what I mean? So like, I'd much rather watch.
The other card's not bad.
Let's talk about that for a minute here. You got Isak Cruz, Giovanni Cabrera, undefeated. I think Cabrera was tall, man. Did you see that?
Yeah, he's tall, but he's not a big puncher. I think he's going to have a hard time. I think he's going to have a hard time dealing with Isak Cruz on the inside.
Yeah.
And he's not a huge puncher either. So.
Yeah, we'll see, man. And then Nonito Donaire is fighting Alexander Santiago. Yeah, for the benefit
of that's an interesting fight. That's a great fight, right? That should have been the cool main.
Right there, man. We got three good fights right there. I think there's another one on the undercard. UNS Tellez versus Sergio Garcia.
That's a decent one, too.
Steven Nelson versus Rowdy Legend. Rowdy Legend, I think, is out of Omaha, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Jose Salas Reyes versus Ashton Palite. So it's a decent enough card. I mean, it's not like Don King's card, but it's good. It's good. Don't get me wrong. It's one of those
compared
ones
to
where
today's cards, it's a great card.
Yes.
Compared to today's cards.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. It's a good up and down fight card. All the stuff on there. It's worth if you're on the fence about buying it, I don't ever say like buy a pay per view because I hate pay per view. But this is definitely one to buy. I wouldn't even stream, because a lot of people like look to stream it. I wouldn't even do that, man. Just buy the pay-per-view. That way there's no, how many times have you been watching the stream? Because we've all watched the stream, right? And, like, right in the third round or whatever, it goes out. Then you got to go find another stream real quick. It's just, look, man, don't even put yourself through the aggravation.
I'm going to make a full disclosure because I've been going hard promoting this fight, telling everyone to buy it. And I was talking to somebody, and I was trying to convince them to buy it. And they said to me, well, Beeb, I'm on a budget. I can't afford it.
Yeah.
So if you can't afford it, don't take offense to me pushing this fight. I'm talking to people who can afford the fight, who definitely are huge boxing fans, who generally will buy big pay-per-views. I don't want to, tell people if you can't afford something, you just don't buy it. You know what I mean? Obviously you gotta pick and choose your battles in life. Obviously there are other things more important than boxing. Not to me, because I'm a loser in
like
life.
Like what?
Yeah, I'm
like
a loser
what?
In life. Not my.
What are you talking
I mean, the
about?
Honey,
what
the honey, the honey.
Where's this coming from? If you can't afford it, don't buy it. Screw that. You need to go hold up a liquor store. Whatever you got to do to get this fight tonight, that's what needs to be done. All right?
I mean, the honey dip.
That's what needs to be done, son. If the honey dip wants to go out, she's going to have to come over to the crib. All right? That's the way it is.
The honey dips are a close second to boxing, but they can't come close to boxing. They're just like right this much far behind it, but they have not surpassed it.
And you don't have the money, take your girl, take her out and sell her. All right. Get the money, whatever way you can, because you do not want to miss this fight tonight. You understand? That's where we're at today.
All right.
I don't know where you're coming from with all this soft stuff, man, but that's
just
ain't the show
just
for
tell,
it.
So just tell the landlord.
Show for it, son.
Tell the landlord you're going to be
landlord,
a little bit
later. Whatever you need to tell him, all right?
Listen, man,
if you got to do favors for the landlord for it, you just got to do favors for the landlord. You know what I'm saying?
It is what it is. Cut the grass for the landlord.
Man up, son.
You ain't
getting that money cutting the grass. Let me tell you that, son. Listen, it's going to go deeper. It just is what it is, all right?
Crazy.
So there you go, man. Go ahead and get that fight, man. What are you talking about?
Yeah. And like you said, I never understood people who streamed, though, because the quality is, like, horrible, man. It's horrible because I see people who repost the stream versions of fights on YouTube, and the quality is just gross, man.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, it's not good. It's never like 4K or anything like you're supposed to get. It's never HD or anything. It's always like, it's never really good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's horrible.
Let's see here. Hey, what are the, have we looked at the props or anything? Is there any props for this? So, like,
all right,
what would you
bet
if you're going to put money down?
I would, okay, because I think WinBet has the best odds if you like Spence. I think they're giving Spence like a plus 135. But FanDuel usually has the best props. So let's pop open.
I'm going to be on. I'm going to DraftKings. Let me see what we got here.
Yeah, I'm a big FanDuel guy. I got all of them, but
I like FanDuel. FanDuel is actually my favorite, to be honest with you.
I like FanDuel the best myself.
Yeah.
I just like the app, like the software and everything. I think it's easier to navigate through. So let's see if we can get some props here.
So I got it up here, fight outcome. Spence, let's see here. Spence is a plus 120, Terrence Crawford a minus 150. Let's see here. What is the draw? Okay, so yeah, what is the draw? Plus 1400.
On WinBet, here's how crazy these sites are. On WinBet, it's a plus 2500.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Those are huge odds. I'll tell you what. I think it would be worth it. Don't spend your money. You know what I mean? Don't spend like crazy money. But I think like maybe a $20 bet or something like that on the draw would be good. Would you say your friend put 50 on it or something like that?
Yeah, my friend put 50 on the draw, actually.
Yeah, I think that's a decent, you know, as far as who's going to win, you're not really getting great odds either way.
I'll tell you, though.
I wouldn't even, you know what I mean? I mean, you're really not. You're looking at that under, over, under?
No, I like Terrence Crawford. I like Crawford with the KO proposition at a plus 320. I like it.
Where, man, I've got like plus 270, man. DraftKings is like half-stepping here.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, like, what's going on? I've always liked FanDuel. They give you better odds for the prop bets. I love them. And if you like Crawford by decision, he's a plus 175, so he's almost 2-1 by decision. I mean, I like Crawford. I'm very confident Crawford wins the fight. I would even, you know, bet both sides. Like, you could put like 100 on – you could put like 100 on the Crawford by decision and put 50 on Crawford by knockout. You hedge your bet a little bit.
Yeah, Terrence Crawford, I got plus 270 by knockout, TQ, DQ, KO, or TKO. Spence is plus 500 in that same category. Yeah, so this is definitely a pro Errol Spence, man. He's definitely favored in the odds. I expected it to shift a little bit yesterday, but nothing really happened. I mean, no money really moved.
Let me see what Crawford is on WinBet, because WinBet has the best odds for Crawford if you're a Crawford guy. But let me see what the WinBet odds are, because they had Crawford as the biggest favorite. Because it's funny how all the odds are different from site to site.
Yeah.
And the good thing about WinBet is the casino's right down the street. I have the app, but I could even go to the casino if I wanted to, too, because it's right down the street. Okay, let's look. Oh, wow. So Crawford's a minus 155 on WinBet, and Crawford is a Spence is a plus 127.
Yeah, I've got minus 150 on DraftKings as well.
I think my friend bet Spence a long time ago, like maybe 2 or 3 months ago, and he got Spence at a plus 135. And Crawford was like a minus, yeah. Crawford was like a minus 160 at that time. So the odds moved a little bit. Actually, Donaire's a slight favorite at a plus 130. Yeah, Nonera at being a minus 130, I mean, putting up 130 to 100, that's not a big deal. I wouldn't be against that. But you know what?
Putting up 130 to win 100, yeah, I get that. But at the same time, this fight is too close. To me, I look for bets that, like, we can actually, you know what I mean? That
I would actually bet – I think Donaire is going to win that fight by knockout. I would actually recommend Donaire with a knockout. Yeah.
Okay.
Let me see what – let me go on back to FanDuel and see what the prop bets are for Donaire. Let me see what he is by knockout. Okay, let's go. Let's take a look at
– Yeah, he's favored to win here. Let me see what he's got by knockout here.
He's a slight favorite, but I want to see what he is by knockout on FanDuel.
Plus 200 on Nonito Donaire by KO, TKO, DQ, plus 200.
On FanDuel?
No, on DraftKings.
Well, let me see what he is on FanDuel.
Plus 550 for Santiago.
Let me see what because Santiago is not a big puncher, and Donaire is a big left hooker.
Yeah.
And
he's old, though.
I think Donaire, he's a great counter puncher,
he's
too.
He's old, son.
But let me see.
I think it's going to be a tougher fight than he thinks. I don't even know if he wins, to be honest with you.
Okay, let's see what we got here. Method of victory here. Let's see. Okay, so he's a plus 240 on FanDuel. So, yeah, I think that's a – I would bet that.
You'll
Donaire
bet
by KO. Yeah, plus 240, yeah. I think he's going to stop him. Because both guys like to throw a lot of left hooks, and you never hook with a hooker, but Donaire's got the bigger punch. And
yeah.
Santiago's kind of smaller, too. So you can see him kind of like – going like crouching and coming up, and Donaire catches him when he pops up. Because a lot of times a shorter guy, when he tries to land headshots, he'll go down, but then he'll kind of like change levels. And a lot of time when he tries to land the headshot, he has to kind of stand straighter up. And a lot of times, you know, he kind of exposes himself a little bit. I can see him trying to pop up, land a big hook, and then just Donaire timing him popping up and boom, counter shot, get them out of there.
Reese Max, are you going live for the main event? I think I'm going to enjoy this one. I don't think I'm going to go live for it.
Yeah, I don't know. You know why I don't like to go live? Because too many people go live when they're doing these, and it's like, what's the sense? Because
right.
You're not really going to get
watching it anyway, so, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll see. Maybe not. I went live for the Inouye thing because it was early and not many people were going to go live, so I just did it. So
yeah.
It is what it is.
All right, let's talk about it. Check this out. So a lot of people are mentioning this too. Mike Coppinger is banned from getting a credential to fight, getting a credential there from the PBC. And
yeah, I heard that.
The article that I read that you sent basically said that ESPN like went to the well to try to get this to happen, to try to get him at the fight, and they declined it. Now that's, to me, that's messed up. You know
yeah.
what I mean? ESPN is the biggest name, and they got Stephen A. Smith there, so he's a bigger star anyway. But,
yeah,
I mean, you know, Coppinger, like, what did he do with the PBC that he can't get credentialed to this fight? Like, come on,
He must have said something wrong. Because you know how petty these PBC guys are
that's
over
ridiculous.
There.
That's ridiculous. I mean, that's ridiculous.
I've heard a lot of stories by a lot of people, and the stories all seem to kind of line up the same. And we've also heard too, like that guy Tay Jones and Malik Scott, obviously too, talking about, oh well, you know, a lot of you guys talking sideways about Deontay, and you hit me up for interviews, man. So you know, you can kill that. We ain't gonna give you interviews. Like these guys, like they comb the internet,
right.
And you can't even say one thing critical
right.
about them. Or if you do, the PBC fighters and the PBC is notorious for just blackballing guys. I can go over the names of guys they blackballed that have had. Yeah, I can go down the list of guys they've blackballed in the past who were pretty reputable guys in the business, and they'll just blackball them. It's a shame. It's just crazy.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And Tony, that's right. It's like NFL revoking Adam Schefter's credential to the Super Bowl. That's you're right. You're 100% right. Get a thicker
yeah.
skin. Like, give me a break.
What's ridiculous?
You know.
And that's
seen,
why.
I've seen him cursed out before, and he sits there and he takes it. He's professional
yeah.
about it. He doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what you think of the guy, and I don't know why anybody holds anything against the guy anyway. I mean, who cares? He's a reporter. He's better. I thought he was better
yeah.
than the last guys they had in there. So I tell you,
yeah.
man, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, and I'll tell you.
Like it or not, nine times out of ten, he's right.
Yeah, I mean, he puts the time in. He gives the work. I'm not a big fan of the guy, but you know, I don't want to see him get canceled or not be able to do his job. I don't want to see the guy,
No.
So, I don't think that was kind of right. He definitely put in the work, put in the time, doing the research.
And he's supporting your guys. He's supporting your sport, your event, your everything. He's been writing about this constantly.
Yeah, so,
PBC
is funny like that, man, from what I hear.
Yeah. I think that's ridiculous, man.
Yeah.
Get a thicker skin, guys. Come on.
I'm not crazy about that.
No. What is it about a big fight that always leads to other fights, whether it's fans fighting each other or whether it's professionals fighting each other? Yesterday during the weigh-ins, I guess the backstage weigh-ins, because apparently they weighed in. I don't understand why they didn't make the weigh-in public. In the sense, just televise it. You don't have to make it public.
Oh, the original one.
Televise the weigh-in. Yeah, televise the weigh-in.
Yeah.
So we can take a look. Let's see what they look like, you know?
Yeah.
Here they've already been hydrated. They've already, you know, they've already eaten. They're comfortable. And now, you know, so I'm just, you know, whatever. But anyway, behind the scenes last night, apparently Caleb Plant and Jamal Charlo went at it, and I'm not sure what started this. They're saying something about Jamal's wife or something like that. I don't know what started it. Caleb went over there and punched, hit him square in the mouth, man. He just hit Charlo square in the mouth. I mean, that punch was coming from the floor, too. I mean, he cracked him, and it. I know it shocked Charlo because you can look at his face. You see he wasn't expecting it. You can tell his body language he wasn't expecting it. He slapped the soul out of it. It did. It sounded like a slap to him. I mean, he just crunched him, man.
Yeah.
What was the deal? Did you ever hear what the deal was with this?
I guess Jamal started talking trash to him, and according to Derek James, who saw the whole thing, and he actually said that it was justified on Plant's part to do that, because what happened was Jamal apparently touched Caleb Plant's beard. He went like that to his beard.
Uh-huh.
And Caleb said, "Don't touch me again." And he did it a second time. And then, you know, he went over and slapped him after that because they got separated.
Yeah.
And then as they got separated, Caleb went back at him and slapped him. And the funny thing is this, Jamal just stood there, but Jamal was the one that was kind of like going after him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, Jamal kind of froze against Danny Jacobs there, too, when Danny Jacobs ran up on him a couple of
times. Oh, you remember that one, don't you?
All this
talk, man. Jacobs walked up to him. He didn't have nothing to say.
Yeah.
Jacobs had him on one side and down the other, man.
That doesn't mean I'm gonna run up on Jamal Charlo. I'm not gonna run up on him and get froggy with him. I ain't gonna risk that. But you know, it seems
I'll
like
I'll get him lunch, wash his car, whatever he wants. I'm not gonna run up on him like that, man.
It seems like you know, once it gets escalated to the next level, things kind of change from his vantage point. You know what I mean?
Reese Max said Canelo slipped the counter. That slap, just saying.
And here's another thing about Caleb. He's a smart guy. He knows he's a boxer, and he don't want to fuck up his hand, so he'll open hand you. He'll give you like a bitch slap.
He slapped. No, he hit it. That was a close.
Did he mean like
a close fist? Yeah,
yeah, something
was saying. That's a close fist. Popped it.
I have to go back and look. A lot of people were saying that he was he cuffed him.
Punched him, man. And
okay,
I tell you what, if you go look at Charlo's reaction to it. Look at Charlo's reaction.
Like,
he looked like he was like, you know, like not buzzed, not just like, you know, it got his attention, put it that way.
And Maestro just said Jamal was drunk apparently and was calling Caleb bitch hands and a lot of other stuff. And here's another thing, bro. Like, you can't be showing up drunk everywhere you go, man. That's a bad look, man.
Listen, man. Anytime you're going to razz a fighter with nonsense, this is what they do for a living. A lot of people will think twice before they hit somebody in the face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you'll see a lot of the pushing and, you know, get away from me, the posturing. Nobody ever touches anybody's face because in guy code, the first fight, you touch my face, we're fighting. The fight starts then. Okay.
Don't invade a guy's space. That's even beyond invading space. That's
you
like,
touch a guy's face, you put your hand, you slap him, you punch him, whatever. If it goes toward the face, we're fighting. You know what I mean? You can't do that. You can't do that.
You can't do that. That's wrong.
I don't understand. Like, and you know this because you're a fighter and you got what you got, man.
Yeah. That was, you know, it's crazy, man.
I don't get it, man. I don't get it.
I was shocked, man.
All right, so that's pretty much it, guys, man. I got Spence. So you picked Crawford. Are you actually – I'm a guy, you know, like I would like to see Crawford win. I don't think he's going to. I'm taking Spence in this. I like both guys. But I think Crawford has been there – you know, Crawford has been grinding so long. We watched his career from jump, you know, and we watched both of these guys' careers from long. It's just tough to pick a guy to root. They're both great. Yeah, you know, like, Spence is a nice guy, man. He really is.
Yeah.
Such a super guy.
I don't like kind of like saying anything bad about either guy. I think both guys are great for the sport. But I will say this, like, and this isn't probably fair to say, but I would kind of want Crawford to win so he could be undisputed, go down to history undisputed in two weight classes. I think that's kind of a cool thing, and then I could see him going up to 154 and doing it too. But I also love Errol. Like, Errol Smith is a good person. He's a good family man.
Yeah.
He's a hard worker too. Like, I'm not gonna hold that other stuff against him. I mean, deep down inside, he owned what he did was wrong. He's trying to correct it, and I think when you see him with his kids and you see him interact with other people, the fans, he's a nice guy. And you know, one thing I saw that he did one time, and it really made me feel good about him, was he was real busy. He was being rushed out of somewhere. He's being rushed into a van, and a fan yelled out to him. I said, "Hey, can I get a picture?" And he's like, I gotta run right now. And then he stopped and he paused and he's like, "Okay, let's go."
Yeah.
Like, that's a little thing, like, be your corny, whatever. That so a lot, like, that's a good person right there, bro. Like, he stands and takes pictures with everybody. I hate even picking a side here, but I like Crawford a lot too, man. And you know what I love with Crawford? Like, Crawford's been that introvert. He's that guy who's not really an outgoing person. He's not going to talk to you if he doesn't really know you. He's a family friend type of guy. But in this fight, he's gone above and beyond. He's hit every podcast, done every interview, and he looks happier. I've never seen him this happy. Yeah. He was dancing and singing to the weigh-in. He just looks like he's finally saying to himself, this is it. When I win this fight, nobody can say shit about me. Like, this is like the pinnacle for me. And he's so, I think, and again, this is just opinion. It's probably not even fair. I just think he wants this fight more, man. I think and I hate to say this, but he does probably need this fight more because Spence is more known than him. He's more well known than him. He commands, you know, probably a little bit bigger paydays, whatever. But so this kind of like a win over Spence playing field, in other words. Sometimes it doesn't always play out that way, but it may work that way this time because Crawford finally put himself out there. A lot of people who didn't know Crawford know him now. And then if he turns around and wins on top of that, this could be that breakthrough fight that propels Crawford. I think he realizes that, and he's saying to himself, "This is going to catapult me and get me where I always wanted to be. People are going to have to give it up to me after this one. Like, people are already saying, whoever wins this fight is number one pound for pound. A lot of that stuff means something to Crawford. Like, Crawford is a competitive guy. I heard someone say, like, he lost in a game of Monopoly and he got mad. You know what I mean? Like, that's just how this
dude
is.
That's how these guys are wired, though. That's how these guys are wired, man.
And again, this is no knock on Spence. I'm sure he's a killer, too, in terms of wanting to win. But I just think Crawford's like Jordan level. To me, Crawford is Jordan level, Andre Ward level in terms of competitiveness.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think anyone hates losing Listen, in the sport of boxing more than Crawford. Like, I just think he hates losing more than anyone right now who's an active fighter. That's just my opinion, of course.
And this is kind of like, you know, you got Jordan on one side and you got LeBron or Kobe on the other side. You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's what we're looking at here.
I can't say enough how much I love Spence as a human being, how much I respect Spence as a human being. I think Spence is a real one. Both guys are a real one, but there's just something about Crawford. Both guys are special, but as ridiculous as this may sound, like, I just think Crawford's just a little bit more special than Spence. And I say that begrudgingly, because I don't want to throw any shade on Spence.
Yeah.
I like Spence that much. I really like Spence a lot.
Spence is, I'll tell you, thank you so much, Remy, by the way. He said, what up, Beeb and Eric? Getting the fights, baby, getting the fights down. I will tell you a story about Spence. When we were at the, I think it was in Chicago, we were somewhere. We were in Chicago at the fights, and I was in media row. You know, we're all sitting there, we're watching the fights and everything. Errol Spence, at the end of the night, comes down there, and because he was joining them at broadcast booth or something like that, took pictures, talked to every single person.
Any
with all of us. Super nice guy, you know, just a super nice guy. And he didn't have to do that, and he didn't have
to. And I'll tell you another story. I'll give you a Blue Blood Sports story, right?
Okay.
So Blue Blood Sports, I guess, was really talking a lot of shit about Spence, right?
Yeah. And
you know, because he was with Black Prime. He was like working with Black Prime. He was kind of like a Crawford guy, right?
Yeah.
And he goes up to Spence during a scrum and he asked him a question. And he goes like, well, what about this? And he goes, why'd you switch up on me, man? You were riding hard for me for a while, and then you kind of like switch up to me, talk a lot of trash about me, blah, 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 blah. And then he didn't answer his question. But then like he started answering more questions, and then he turned to Blue Blood and he goes, go ahead and ask your question, man. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, he can never just be an asshole to people. Deep down inside, he's a very
nice guy,
very good-natured, nice person. I think he does care about.
Yeah.
I think when he's in the ring, obviously he wants to hurt people because that primal instinct kicks in. But outside in the real world, man, I don't think this guy has a mean bone in his body. I just don't think he's like.
But they both have mean streaks in them. They both have mean streaks. You know, I mean, when the lights come on, it's go time, man.
And you could see when he's talking to fans, like he really talks to them as like he answers the question very thoroughly, expands upon the, like, he's not just a, you know, one word answers. Like he seems like he doesn't mind talking to people. He's a people person.
Let me tell you this about Spence. He doesn't get rattled. You can watch it all through this conference, all through the buildup. He doesn't get rattled. Terrence Crawford gets rattled. Terrence Crawford was rattled the other night at that press conference by some guy in the front row that was heckling him. And he went, Crawford went from 0 to 60 in like 2 seconds. His demeanor completely switched from what you saw on that podium. It just switched on a dime. Spence, and I think that, you know, you want to talk about little things. Spence is always cool as a cucumber, man. And that's a big deal. Especially
even when he gets mad, he never raises his voice. He's just a low-key, he's a low-key cool dude, man. Like, you can see sometimes he gets pissed off, but he never really loses it fully, man.
Yeah. I think that if Terrence Crawford loses this fight, this is, you know, the end of the road is a harsh term. It's not, and I don't mean he's finished as a fighter. I don't mean any of that. This, for his career, I think for his career, this fight means more than it does to Errol Spence's career at this point.
100%.
Because Errol Spence is going to go to the Hall of Fame regardless of what happens here. And so will Crawford. Don't get me wrong. Errol Spence will move up in weight. He'll grab titles up there. This fight, if he loses this fight, it'll be a memory. That's, you know what I'm saying? If he wins this fight, I mean, he's the guy.
He needs this fight because Spence has already been legitimized in the eyes of the eyes of the boxing world. Crawford never has. Like, people have just, for whatever reason, whether it's fair or otherwise, he's never had the people behind him. He's never had the same attention, he's never had, like, people come out for him like they come out for Spence. Never had, like, not as popular as Spence. And that's just, it's just the facts.
Well, it's his personality, too. He doesn't like to give interviews. He doesn't like to talk to the press.
Yeah.
He's been involved with scrapes with the law and stuff like that. You know, Spence got his car turned over. Everybody's concerned about his health. Crawford went in there, you know, and took his car back, and it was, like, robbery or whatever. But, you know, I don't think he was charged. But that's you're seeing differences, you know, and that's, you know.
Sure.
Sure. Let me ask you a question. Naoya Inoue fought earlier this week, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. But he fought earlier this week, looked impressive. Everybody's calling him the pound for pound, no matter what happens Saturday. I disagree with that. To me, whoever wins the fight on Saturday is pound for pound the guy. No question about it. Because I like Inoue.
Yeah, you know that I'm not a big pound-for-pound guy.
Yeah.
But if you're going to make comparisons here, and this is no disrespect, all these guys are great fighters, right? Fulton's a great fighter. This is a 50-50 fight. Fulton versus Inoue was not. So in terms of the difficulty of this fight, this is a much more significant fight. And, again, we always
expected Inoue to win, but we knew Fulton could win.
Yeah, most people were picking Inoue.
Yeah.
They thought it would be harder than it was.
Right.
And hindsight is 20/20, so obviously I don't want to punish Inoue for making it
everybody
look easier than
Inoue.
Everybody
picked Inoue on Wednesday.
I would say about 90% of the people I talked to picked Inoue, and the only people who didn't pick Inoue, they know why they did.
Right.
And I'm not going to go in. I'm not going into that. Right. I'm not running down that rabbit hole, because that's an ugly rabbit hole that I don't like going down. I don't like how the scenery looks down there. So, you know, in terms of how difficult this fight is for both men, you can't get any. When was even Pacquiao Mayweather, like, come fight time, Mayweather was almost a 3-1 favorite, right? Maybe 2.5, 3-1 favorite. This fight is like almost dead even. And Inoue Fulton was not.
No.
Right? So, to me,
and two guys that have been dominating for years, by the way.
Correct. So to me, this is undisputed. These are two guys that have been in the pound for pound for years, right? Crawford's been at the number one spot at one point in his career. Spence has been close to it. This is just a much more competitive fight on paper. And, yeah, whoever wins this fight, I would have to say that if I was going to, pick someone who I would say is the best fighter in the world right now, I would say the winner of this fight should be, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
Hey, guys, am I hallucinating out here? We only got 37 likes. Are you serious? We're up here on a Saturday. We're not charging anybody. We're giving you, we're trying to entertain you. Come on, man. Come on. Get the likes up.
Trying to get Eric to do a show on Saturday is like trying to rip a T-bone steak out of the jaws of a lion, man.
I usually sleep late on Saturdays.
That's right.
I'm not even up now. I'm not even up. I'm still in bed because I party all night on Friday, Daddy. That's how it goes. I saw the little smirk there. Let me ask you, okay, real quick, and then we'll get out of here. The biggest fights, all right, we have Crawford Spence, by far the biggest one in a long time. Before that, we had Mayweather Pacquiao, which was 5 years past its expiration date. Nobody cared about that fight. You only cared about the event. You know what I mean? That was it. Let's see, before that, who was there? I think we have to go, back to Delaware to Trinidad?
This is not hyperbole when we say that, I'm going to be honest, and this is my opinion. You can argue that it's not as big in terms of probably popularity-wise. I don't think either guy is as popular as Delaware or Trinidad. But in terms of, like, I would have to go back to Leonard Hearns one. I like for me, yeah. I actually like this fight better than Trinidad De La Hoya.
I tell you what, I loved the Trinidad De La Hoya fight until that fight happened. It was awful. You know, you have, and we,
I scored that fight a draw, by the way.
It's unbelievable, right? I mean, really, how did he, what in your DNA, what in your makeup said, I'm going to win the first six rounds and then just coast? Didn't fight at all. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What on earth are you doing? Oscar De La Hoya is a big disappointment. I'll get more into that tomorrow because I saw his documentary. If you guys haven't seen that Oscar De La Hoya documentary on HBO, go check it out. Go check it out. You know how usually, you know how usually you watch a documentary and you're like, you feel some empathy for that person? Yeah, like, I walked out of that documentary thinking, what a scumbag. Like, nothing. He's got no redeeming.
Your mom has been dead for several years.
Oh.
Is this the right time to really start talking shit about your mom?
Not only that. If that stuff with his mom didn't even happen. She never asked him for the gold medal. That didn't even happen.
It like, reeks.
What?
It reeks. It reeks of being an opportunist. It's almost like that politician. I'm going to say it. Chris Christie's running for president right now because he wants a job in the media.
Dare
when the whole
you.
Thing is on.
How dare you? That's Chris Christie.
And he wants to sell a book.
Who do you think you are? What's Chris Christie you're talking about, son? On my podcast?
I got to tell the truth.
What's the matter with you?
You know when someone's just like doing it, doing it for attention, doing it to try to like sell a book or try to like, you know when someone's doing and saying something for financial reasons. In other words, and they're not like, I'm going to be 100% honest. When I watched the book award, and I believed every, and again, call me naive if you want. I believed every single word that came out of Andre Ward's mouth.
I do.
I did. Oscar De La Hoya, to me, a lot of things he said. I don't believe. He seems like a very disingenuous person.
He is a disingenuous. I don't think there is. It seems like he is. He clearly is.
And you went a great part of your life just not even having a relationship with your kids. And you were in a position where you had the money to take care of those kids, but you still blew them off.
He was engaged to that chick. He was engaged to that first girl, that white girl.
You're a millionaire.
Yes.
Several times over, and you could have had the relationship. Like, if you
what
ask
do you
people,
do? And then he's over there dedicating the fights to his kids after the fight. No, he ain't even going to see him.
And then you never go see your kids. And your kids have – and credit to your kids for reaching out to you, wanting to know who you are. And if they never did that, went out and looked for them.
And he went in there, hooked up with that other girl, that Millie or whatever, when he was dating that girl, Shanna. You know, had a kid at home. And he was over there on the red carpet with that other girl. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what? You know, because she wasn't Latin enough. You know what I mean? She was white. She wasn't Latin. So they weren't going to accept him for a stupid music career or whatever.
Yeah, man.
Unbelievable. I think this is the biggest fight since Leonard Hearns. I really do.
I put this above Trinidad De La Hoya, and people can tell me I'm crazy if they want.
Yes.
This is the biggest fight since the biggest welterweight fight in my mind.
Since what, 1980?
1981. This is a better fight than Pacquiao Mayweather, in my opinion.
Yes. Oh, God, yes. Especially at the time they fought. Especially at the time they fought. It was all hype at that point.
Yeah.
Do you think, okay, so let me ask you this. Do you think it lives up to the hype?
I think it exceeds the hype.
Wow. You heard it.
I'm gonna watch this fight and we're gonna talk about this tomorrow, and I'm gonna tell you this fight was better than even I anticipated. And I have extremely high expectations for this fight. This is gonna be a phenomenal fight.
Yeah.
And you know what? Spence is gonna come out extremely, extremely fast in this fight for two reasons. I do think he had a tough weight cut. I don't think he wants to go the full 12, in my opinion. And I do think that he thinks that he's big, and he thinks he can impose his size, strength, and will on Crawford. And because of Spence's tactics, I think Crawford's going to be forced to match that intensity. And I do think he'll rise to the occasion. And that's why this fight is going to be a phenomenal fight.
I can't wait. I can't wait. No, Biba's not doing live commentary to the fight tonight. At least I don't think you are anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll go back and see.
I was thinking about that too, and I'm like, nah, I want to sit down and watch fight and score properly and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll be talking about this tomorrow night, tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. on Ringside Reporter Live. Right here, we'll have the channel up and everything like that. So you guys can, we'll also open it up for phone calls and all that other good stuff for tomorrow. So, yeah, man, I'm excited, man. I can't wait. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. Catch us tomorrow, same time. Watch the fights tonight. All right.